Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for those words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight, we're going to learn the teaching will be on women of valor. And the word valor actually means to be strong. And so here's three women that really remarkable. And the first one we'll begin with is Hannah. And her name means favor. So most people will say mercy, and mercy doesn't mean favor. Mercy means reward. It's where we get the word mercenary, merchandise, so forth. So it's a wrong word. Actually, it's the word favor. And we're looking at it. And so we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 2 through 7. And Elkanah is the husband. And he had two wives, the name of the one Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Yeah, well, we're going to read 2 to 7. So then that man went out of the city from time to time to worship and to sacrifice unto Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And there were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests unto Yahweh. And when the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he used to give to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. And that kind of said, all her sons and daughters. So he got a plethora of children. Portions, and unto Hannah used he to give one portion, howbeit Hannah he loved, although Yahweh had restrained her from having children. And her rival used to, God, this is so sad, and her rival used even to cause her great vexation for the sake of provoking her, because Yahweh had restrained her from having children. And thus used she to do year by year, whenever she went up to the house of Yahweh, thus she went to vex her, she wept and would not eat. Well, that's so cruel, you know, you're looking at that, but that's what she's going through. Now we go through 9, and they're there. And Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh, and after she had drunk, and Eli the priest was sitting upon his chair by the doorpost of the temple of Yahweh. And she, being in bitterness of soul, prayed unto Yahweh and wept sore, and she vowed a vow. And this is very important in our day. Is think about covenant and vows, and we really don't have that too much. We're supposed to have it in marriage, but it appears that it doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, when somebody swears at something, to them they can get out of it immediately. Now, legal contracts you can't. You go to court on that. You know, but so this is the vow to Yahweh, which is very important. Let's see here. She vowed a vow and said, Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt look upon the humiliation of thy handmaid, and handmaid means a bondwoman, or, you know, a servant, and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid, and that she addresses herself as a servant, a handmaid, a man-child, then will I give unto Yahweh all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Let me see here. We'll stop there. Well, now we go to 18. It's a great story. You need to read the whole thing. Now 18. And she said, let thy servicing woman find favor in thy eyes. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no longer after her prayer. And they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before Yahweh and returned into their own house in Ramah. That's Samuel's hometown. Now, Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and Hannah and Yahweh remembered her. And so it was when the days had come around during which Hannah was with child that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, heard of El. Because of Yahweh, I asked him. Let me see here. 18 to 20. 20 oh, we're going to read to 28. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto Yahweh the yearly sacrifice and each his own vow. But Hannah went not out, for she said to her husband, "Not till the boy is weaned, then will I take him, and he shall appear before Yahweh and abide there evermore." Now, you just think of this. Now, what this woman has done, and her valor, her strength, is, you know, I vow to Yahweh, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him to you for the rest of your life. You only have one. It's not like one out of five. You got one. And you're not pregnant anymore. So you have to think about that. And then she's going to honor that vow. And you can imagine for anybody, boy, what a testimony.
It'd be so hard.
Yeah, 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what is good in thy own eyes. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only may Yahweh establish his word." So the woman tarried and nursed her son until she weaned him. Then took she him up with her. When she had weaned him with a bullock of 3-year-old, 1 ephah of meal, and a skin of wine, and took him to the house of Yahweh at Shiloh, the boy yet being young. He maybe 5 years old. So they slew the bullock and took the boy in unto Eli, and she said, "Pardon my lord. By the life of thy soul, my lord, I am the woman who was standing near thee here praying unto Yahweh, and this boy I prayed, and Yahweh had given me my petition which I asked of him. Hence I also have loaned him unto Yahweh all the days that he liveth. He is lent unto Yahweh, and he bowed down there unto Yahweh." Isn't that a great story?
His first act.
Now think of that. Now we're going to look at just a little bit of this prayer that Hannah does. You need to read the whole prayer, because has Yahweh promised her anything else? No. This is the one child I got. I'm not pregnant.
3 years later, she had seven.
But I am delivering up all that I have to you. And I've had it for 5 years. That's good enough. And I get to visit him once a year. So we're looking at this prayer. It's chapter 2, 1 through 10. We're going to look at just a few segments of it. We're going to look at chapter 2, 1 and 2. "Then prayed Hannah and said, My heart hath leaped for joy in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth is opened wide over my foes, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy like Yahweh, nay, there is none except thee, nor is there a rock like unto our God." She's saying this, not that she received something, but she is giving something. And then the end of her prayer is verse 10, "And as for Yahweh, they shall be shattered who contend with thee. Over him in the heavens will he thunder. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth, that he may give strength to his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed one." So you're looking at, and that's Mashiach. So you're looking at, here's his prayer, what am I doing? Because something I received? Yes, she did receive it maybe 5 years ago. Now she's giving it and going to walk away. You know, you're just like, that's giving your whole life savings. Let's just say your whole IRA, your whole bank account, Yahweh. I love you, Yahweh. You've taken care of me. And I'm really looking at with us, and how do you do something like that? Unless you believe in the new earth and the life. If this is the life, the only life that we have, you're going to say, I'm just not going to give that up. I'm not going to honor my vow. Because my life is so short anyway, what difference does it make? But if I knew there's a new kingdom, a new earth, I'm going to be resurrected, then I can do anything. I can abstain from anything because I know I'm going to be rewarded in the end. And I'm trusting the creator of the universe, Yahweh, that he's going to enrich me farther than I can ever imagine. And that's why you can give a prayer like this when you're actually not gaining something. You know, if a person inherited the lottery, $1 million, they're going to say this prayer.
Right.
The person who lost, you know, their house does not get this kind of prayer.
Now, Miriam's prayer was after the Egyptians were washed away.
Yeah. So you're looking at the results. But because we know, as you said, she does this and walks away with no other promises, no other vows. She had her child. But we're going to see that Yahweh's going to honor her. And let's see here.
Verse 20.
Yeah, and verse, let's see here. 2:18-21. But as for Samuel, he was ministering unto before Yahweh, a boy girded with an ephod of linen, also a little robe used his mother to make for him and bring it up for him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the sacrifice of the year. And Eli used to bless Elkanah and his wife and to say, Yahweh give thee seed of this woman instead of the loan that hath been lent unto Yahweh. So they went their way to his own place. And Yahweh visited Hannah, and she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. Thus did the boy Samuel grow up with Yahweh. So with all of us, just learn this lesson. Be thankful in all situations. And look what happened. And honor your vows. Honor the covenant. Uh-huh. Honor Yahweh. Because this doesn't look good to her. Her only son she gives away. And it reminds me of our Heavenly Father. His only begotten son he gave. You know, for the benefit. She's given him for the benefit of Yahweh. My child's going to serve Yahweh. Which obviously he did his whole life. But she ended up getting 5 more children because of it. But she didn't give the prayer. After she got the 5 children, she gave a prayer before she ever had any. And she probably in her mind was reconciled that she's not going to have any more children. Sure. This is her one and only child that she gave. What a sacrifice.
Wow.
So now we're going to go to Abigail. You know, Ab means father. Joy, so that's what her name means. And it's actually pronounced Abigail.
Abigail.
Yeah, 4 syllables. Abigail, so we stood for.
Where is it?
1 Samuel 25. Another woman of valor. Verse 1 and 3, we'll read this. And Samuel died, and all Israel was gathered together and made lamentation for him and buried him with his own house in Ramah. And he was there. He had 5 siblings with him. And I bet you his mother, when he moved to Ramah from, I forget where he was with Eli, because once Eli died, everything else.
Shiloh.
Yeah, Shiloh. So he might have, I know he lived in Ramah. He might have gone back to Ramah. And then his mother got more time with him. And David arose and went down into the wilderness of Maon. Now there was a man in Maon whose cattle were in Carmel, and the man was exceedingly great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was that he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. Now listen to this, Abigail. And the woman was of good understanding and a beautiful figure. What a contrast. But the man was unfeeling and of evil practices, and he was a Calebite. I'm not sure what that is.
Son of Caleb. Here.
According to his own heart.
Stubborn.
Now, stubborn. According, God, does that speak to us? You know, and what we're going to see, what connects all these people is these women of valor is service. We're going to say in serving. What they are they have voluntarily made themselves servants. And not Nabal. Yeah, he was not. He was stubborn. Now we go to 14 to 33. I'm going to read the little story. David asked for help. You read the account, and Nabal rejected his request. And so David's coming down to kick some butt. And at 14, we begin there. But a certain one of her young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Lo, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to bless our Lord, and he treated them with contempt. But the men were exceedingly good to us, and we were not harmed, neither missed we anything all the days we went to and fro with him while we were in the fields. A wall became a hand to us both by night and by day, and all the days were with them tending their flock. Now therefore know thou and see what thou canst do, for mischief is determined against our Lord and against all his household. But he is such an abandoned man that no one can speak unto him." We got to make sure that's not us too. If you will not listen to people, it says, "Reprove a righteous man and he will love thee. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hates thee." If you don't receive correction and don't seek correction, maybe you're in Nabal. How's that? Is that going to fit?
He was the son of the abandoned one.
Yeah, so you're like, man. And most people love praise, flattery, but they don't want correction. They don't want reproof and correction. 18, and when Abigail hastened and took 200 loaves of two, you know, remember she was, what was she called her? Of good understanding and very beautiful. 18, and then Abigail, it's not Ab, so father is Ab, so in Hebrew, or which is really Hebrew, A-B is father. So it's Abraham, not Abraham. Then Abigail hastened and took 200 loaves and two skins. You know, that's a lot of cooking. 200 loaves. I mean, somebody had to really get to work. Two skins of wine, five sheep made ready, five measures of parched corn, and 100 cakes of raisins. He has 600 men, I think. And 200 cakes of fig and put them on the asses. And she went, and she said to the young man, pass out before me, coming after you. But to her husband, Nabal, told she nothing. That was a woman of good understanding. Back to Yahweh talking about her attributes. Let's see. Told nothing. 20. And so it was as she was riding on her ass and descending within the culvert of the hill, lo, David and his men descending over against her. So she met them. And David said, had said, surely in vain did I guard all that pertained to this man in the wilderness, so that there was nothing missed of all that he has, and he has returned to me evil for good. And so may Elohim do to David, and so may be added if I leave remain of all that he hath until the morning, so much as a little boy. And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off her ass and fell down before David upon her face. Wow, you know, that's respect. And prostrate herself on the ground. Man, I mean, this is a servant. She fell at his feet. Look how she says that. Let's just see what. And fell down before David upon her face, one, and prostrated herself on the ground, two, and she fell at his feet and said, at his face, so it goes bam, bam, bam on her, humbling herself. And this is what we're going to be doing to Christ. That if you're not willing to kiss Christ's feet, you're not worthy of what he has done. On me, even me, my Lord, be the transgression. But I pray thee, let thy handmaid speak in thine ear, and hear thou the words of thy handmaid. And handmaid is bondservant, or bond, that's the bondservant, making herself a bondservant.
That was what Hannah said to
you. Yeah, same thing. Perspective. Let's just say, Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be therefore lowly under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may lift thee up in due time. Are you haughty or are you low? Haughty or low? These women who are mighty women of valor have made themselves low. They call themselves handmaidens. And let it not be, I pray thee, that my Lord regard this abandoned man, Nabal, as his name is, Nabal, is his name, and baseness is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not thou the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Let me see here. Yeah, we're going to keep reading. Now therefore, my Lord, by the life of Yahweh, and by the life of thy own soul, seeing Yahweh hath withholden thee from coming in with bloodshed, and from saving thyself with thy own hand, now therefore, like Nabal, be thine enemies, and they who are making search for my Lord wrongfully. Now therefore, this blessing which thy maidservant hath brought to my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men who are going to and fro at the feet of my Lord. Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy handmaid, for Yahweh will certainly make for my Lord an assured house. Well, isn't that great? For the vows of Yahweh is my Lord, fighting and wrong shall not be found in thee all thy days. Yea, even though there has risen a son of earth to pursue thee, and to seek thy life, yet shall the life of my Lord be bound up in the bundle of the living, which Yahweh thy Elohim. But as for the life of my enemies, he shall sling it out with the middle of the hollow of the sling. And it shall be when Yahweh shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall put thee in charge as leader over Israel, then shall this not become to thee a staggering and stumbling of heart unto my Lord, and that thou didst either shed blood without need, or at the hand of my Lord save himself. And when Yahweh hath dealt well with my Lord, then remember thou thy handmaid. So she's laying it all out. Then said David unto Abigail, Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, who has sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy discreet judgment. And blessed be thou thyself, who hath kept me this day from coming in with bloodshed, and from saving myself with mine own hand. So we'll stop there. Now, 25... let me see. No, we did that. Okay, now 39 to 44. So Nabal dies, or her husband dies. Now, where is David and David living at this particular time?
On the road.
In a cave. Yeah. Right? He's being hunted by King Saul. Him and his men are on the run. Okay. She's living under very good pretense.
Wow.
They're very prosperous. Nabal is, you know, he got thousands of livestock and everything else. Now, Nabal dies. It says Yahweh killed him. He had a stroke. It reminded me of somebody. And that's really a hard heart. Isn't that funny? Probably killed him. A hard heart killed him. That's called a... But look at 39... And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be Yahweh, who hath maintained the plea of my reproach at the hand of Nabal, and hath restrained his servant from wrong. Yea, the wrong of Nabal hath Yahweh turned back on his own head. Then sent David and spake with Abigail to take her himself to wife. Okay. Is her life going up or backwards?
I thought about that.
She's going to go live in a cave.
Let's go to the cave.
With a guy who's on the run, who King Saul is trying to kill. No bathrooms. You know, I mean, this is a tough time you're looking at. What you're looking at, you're looking at, man, but watch how she responds. But she knows Yahweh, he's the ruler of Israel. But not right now, because she told him that before. 40, and the servants of David came unto Abigail, the Carmelitess, and spake unto her, saying, David has sent us unto thee to take thee to himself to wife. And she arose and bowed herself down with her face to the earth, look at that again, and said, Hell no.
For you are your mock.
Lo, thy handmaiden, there she expressed herself again, the servant, as serving women to bathe the feet of the servants of my Lord. Now think of that. Yeah. I will wash not David's feet, but I'm going to wash the servants of David's feet. I mean, that is a woman of valor. I mean, look at this, and that's the same way with Hannah. You're looking at these women, you're like, wow! You know, who wants to wash anybody's feet? Because that's a position of humility. And a bond slave, but not only will I wash your feet, I don't know when he would wash my feet or not. Let alone somebody who worked for me. You know, as I say, so somebody who actually works for me, and here's somebody out in the construction, and you know, I've got toe fungus and everything else, and all of a sudden you're going to be out there washing his feet. And you're looking at, this is what we're trying to learn about. Okay, where am I? Am I in that position? If I'm not, I want to get in that position. Mentally, that's where life is. This is where life is. The world's just the opposite. I want people to wash my feet. Mm-hmm. That's what we're told. I don't want to wash other people's feet. I want to be washed. I want to be exalted. And he always said, no, no, no. Yeah,
the other way around.
It's the other way around. I will exalt you if you do, because we're going to find out there's another woman who washed feet. And she's called a sinful woman, Luke 7.
What? That's it, is not like this.
The book of Luke, chapter 7. And she doesn't have it, they don't give her a name, but they just call her a sinful woman. 7:36-38. We all remember this case. And a certain one of the Pharisees were requesting him, Yahushua, that he would eat with him. And entering into the house of the Pharisee, he reclined. And lo, a woman who indeed was in the cities a sinner woman. And when she found out that he was reclined in the house of the Pharisee, providing an alabaster jar of perfume, so she might have been wealthy. And standing behind near his feet, weeping with the tears, began she to be wetting his feet, and with her hair of her head was wiping off the tears, and was tenderly kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. What a picture of humility. You know, that's it. So am I like that? If Christ appeared right now, would I bow down and kiss his feet?
And wash with my hair?
Yeah, if I'm not willing to kiss his feet, I'm not in the position I'm supposed to be in. I'm not in the state of mind I'm supposed to be in. Now go to 39 and 44. Oh yeah, wait a minute here. No, 44 to 47. And he turned to the woman unto Simon and said, "See thou this woman, I entered into thy house, water to me on my feet, thou didst not give, but she with her tears hath wet my feet, and with her hair wiped off the tears. And a kiss to me thou didst not give, but she from the time I came in hath not ceased tenderly kissing my feet, look at that. With oil my head thou didst not anoint, but she with perfume hath anointed my feet. For which cause I say unto thee, her many sins have been forgiven, because she hath loved much, but he who the little is forgiven, the little loveth." Now, so we start looking at that. Are you ready to kiss the feet of Yahushua? To wash Yahushua's servant's feet? I'll kiss Yahushua. How about his servant's feet? Yahushua's servant. Somebody who is down here in society norms. Are you willing to do that? Now, then you're in the wrong place. We're not in the right place. And we can see that in John 13, when Christ is washing the people's feet.
Wow.
As an example. John 13:1-5. "Now before the peace of the Passover, Yahushua, knowing his hour had come, that he should remove out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, and were in the world unto the end, loved them. And supper being in progress, the adversary having already trusted in the heart of Judas, son of Simon, Iscar, that he should deliver him up, Yahushua, knowing that all things the Father had given unto him into his hand, and that from Yahweh he had come, and unto Yahweh he was going, roused himself out of the supper." Now this is Yahweh telling him, wash the feet. And he just obeys the will of the Father. "I'm going to wash your feet." Yeah, I want you to wash your feet. It should not be the other way around, "Rouse himself out of the supper and layeth aside his garment and taking a linen cloth, girded himself. Next he poured water to the water basin and began to be washing the feet of his disciples and to be wiping them with their linen cloth wherein he was girded." And we know that. What's going on here? It'd be like Donald Trump coming and washing my feet. And that's life. That's where we're supposed to be. This should not be abstract. It should be normal. So service, the whole thing with these women of valor is service. Are you a servant with all of us? Are you a servant? If people say they are servants, that says a lot. If people say, no, they're really not servants, we're not where we're supposed to be. And so you can ask people, do you see me as a servant? Not really. Then I need to get to a place where I do serve. And so service is it. And when you look at Moses, Yahweh addressed Moses as Moses, my servant. Moses, my servant. He did that in Exodus 14:31, Numbers 12, verse 7 and 8, Joshua 9, verse 24, 2 Kings 21:8, Nehemiah 1, 7 through 8, 7 and 8. My servant Moses, maybe we should say, my servant Wendy, my servant Chuck, my servant Aaron. And so we have to be able to say, I want that title. Well, you have to earn that title. Serve. Mm-hmm. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. Now, we're going to be served, but we're also here to serve. And so always make sure we're in that position where we're not haughty, but we're lowly in mind. And so many times a waiter who comes to your table is serving us. Are we actually going to come back and serve them in some way that we can? And many times you can by compliments, by being interested in their life, talking about their life, and maybe rewarding them richly for their service. In essence, then you became the servant to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
That was. And so keep that in mind, and that will end up there.
Amen.
So we'll get to hear from our Heavenly Father, a word of prophecy. Thank you, Father, for these words. The Mashiach Yahushua, the ultimate servant of all servants, and be our example. Be bold and courageous, because you are victorious. When I speak to you, you put on my son's mind, the mind of Christ, in order that you may be delivered yourself and for other people around you. So at all times, meditate upon my words and manifest my words by speaking those words, rehearsing those words, and knowing that I give you all that you need in this life in my word. And with Ruach HaKodesh, I will guide your footsteps day by day as you listen and tune in to me. I'm going to see you next week.